Psalm 9. To the chief musician, to the tune, death of the son, the psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works.
I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name all the time.
When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence.
For you maintain my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness.
You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever.
O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished.
But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment.
He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness.
The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble.
Those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people.
When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble.
Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death.
That I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation.
The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught.
The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever.
Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight.
Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah.
Amen. Okay, as we've looked at here, this is a psalm written by David. In the superscription, that's the part just above verse 1 where it starts to the chief musician. Again, there's some discussion, debate. No one's quite sure if this is to be considered part of the text of the psalm or not. Is this part of the psalm? Is this writing here inspired or not? Rarely does it really make a difference. In this case, as I did the research, I saw that the Septuagint and the Vulgate both call this to the chief musician on the mysteries or the secrets of the sun, meaning a male child, not the bright ball in the sky, a psalm of David. So this is a psalm written by David that would reflect the time in his life, but more to the point is looking at the mysteries, a psalm that is looking at the secrets of the sun. Now, when we look at the sun in the Old Testament, the term the sun or the son of man, we know it generally, or if not always, refers to the Messiah. So here we want to hold the thought in our heads as we read through this. Again, as I often caution us, to look at this as a song given to the people of God in all ages to sing, a song of the covenant, of redemption, a song speaking of God and his relationship to all the people throughout the earth in all times. We should come away with a different understanding than if we just looked at it as some tribal hymn to a pagan, or to a king back in the ancient days. Obviously, it should be different. Sadly, people don't do that often enough. The book of Psalms were given to the church to sing in all ages. So we need to look at this in terms of covenant, in terms of eternity here on earth. Now, one thing I've got to tell you, if you start with that mindset and you read through this psalm, and you'll see it here in a few minutes, if it didn't occur to you as you read it, as we read it earlier, you really got to see this as the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. That this here is the psalm, or the hymn, if you will, that fits in with the book of the Apocalypse of St. John better than most others, or any others that I've seen. Better than most hymns, written by men for that matter. And you'll see this as we go along. And if you think of this as being a psalm on the mysteries of the Son. A psalm that comes after a cycle, speaking of the crucifixion, the suffering, the dying, the resurrection and exaltation of Jesus Christ, which is where the book of Revelation then picks up. It all fits rather nicely, and it all makes a lot of sense. But we have to have a mind and a heart that looks at the Word of God as a unified whole, that looks at the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, dealing with all people together at the same time in the same way, not seeing the Jews as different. Okay, now that was a long introduction to a long psalm, so we're going to have to move along fairly quickly as we go through this. It begins with the psalmist, which was written by David, but David the prophet wrote this in the voice of our Lord Jesus. I will praise you, O Jehovah, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. It starts with praise, with glorification of the Father, who has done all things great so that he might be praised. Because that is the great end of all creation, is to praise the Father. In the next three verses, it's interesting to look at this. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Those things at the writing of this psalm certainly hadn't happened. Those things when this psalm was written certainly had not occurred. So those who had want to point back at a fulfillment of this psalm in the day it was written, that this psalm was written purely to explain or to describe the exploits of David and what happened in his day, have a problem. Because the nations hadn't been punished, hadn't been destroyed. These things had not happened. The next verse, O enemy, destructions are finished forever. You have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. And he shall administer the judgment for the peoples in uprightness. Now again, remember, those of you who are familiar with the book of Revelation, and I understand that there's a lot of false teaching and bad teaching about the book of Revelation out there. So it's hard for us sometimes to separate that chaff from the wheat. But you know in the book of Revelation, and it starts with speaking to the churches, but it goes on to discuss the judging of the nations, how the nations rise up against God, but how God is the one who would judge them, the Father will judge them. And when he's looking for who can open the scrolls, who can open the book, who can execute the judgment, who is it that shows up? Now those of you who have ever listened to Ray Joseph to any degree, know that the great, great rider on the white horse, Jesus Christ that came in judgment to destroy the nations, is what the book of Revelation is looking at. But the Father executes justice on earth and judgment through the covenant, through his Son. We see that here reflected in these three verses. But more to the point, or more throughout the book of Revelation, we see that the people on earth, during the time of great trials, are protected by their Lord. And we see that in the next section, that the Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I want you to see something here that is typical of the book of Psalms, typical of prayer that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's a mixing of the past and present tenses. Do you see that in here, starting in verse 3 and moving down through, say, 12 for now? That he talks first of how you have done these things, then he talks to the people and say, you will do these things. He will be this, but he has been this. There is such a confidence, such a knowledge that the prophecy is real, that these things shall certainly happen, that the tenses are put back and forth. The Lord in his providence has already decided how you shall be saved from your trials, the trials you don't even know yet. The Lord has already decided, for instance, how your friend Susan will be dealt with, how he and his grace will take care of her. It's already been done. We just haven't seen how it's going to happen yet. And as we pray to God and as we work on earth, it's the same as anything else in our lives. The end has already been set We are just the means to bring this end about. So we can rest knowing that he's already taken care of our sister. He's already taken care of our needs. Moving on. After that, we see starting in verse 11 and on, praises to God again, who dwells in Zion, declares deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Now look at the verse 12. We have two sentences there, or two statements that seem to stand in opposition. At least in opposition of how many people think of God, think of Jesus in this day. They think in the New Testament that the Lord avenging blood is harsh and cold and something that doesn't happen. But we know the book of Revelation speaks much of a vengeance, doesn't it? We see in Matthew and other places in the New Testament much talk of vengeance upon the unbeliever. And why is that? Out of anger or spite? Certainly not. We see that the people of Zion, the God's chosen ones, when he avenges blood, he remembers them, God's people. It's God's people he avenges. He does not forget the cry of the humble. God saves the humble, his people, often through violence. Let's not try to be holier than God and say that that cannot be. For he tells us often that that is what happens. Now in the midst of all this tumult, what does the psalmist go on to say? Have mercy on me, Jehovah. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. Now again, stop and think of the book of Revelation. How we see to some degree, symbolically of course, the exaltation of Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father, given dominion over the earth, over all the nations, and how he then rules. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You lift me from the gates of death, that I may tell all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. Now, you've got to see this in the book as well. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Selah, meditation. Stop and think. Stop and think. Mercy on the believer is often done through destruction of the wicked. The wicked are destroyed not because, as some say, they're in the wrong place at the wrong time or because they didn't hear the gospel. It's not because they rejected Jesus Christ. It's because they have their own sin, their own evil, which casts them down to hell. They have deserved their judgment. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Now that verse should throw you into terror, because our nation has forgotten God. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. There is a judgment waiting the nation, the prosperous nation who says they no longer need God. They no longer need this man to be king over them. We should pray and we should work. We should be the means, as I mentioned earlier, for the providence that God has already set. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. This verse comes out of many books in the Bible, the next two that we see. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Throughout the Old Testament, we hear much about the great and terrible day of the Lord. In the New Testament, we hear talk of the same. In Revelation, we see it. And here we have a prayer from the Holy Spirit in the mouth of Jesus, in the mouth of his people, because we're going to sing it. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. So many today think they are gods, but they're not. And the Lord is a jealous God, and he will remind them. Now we'll sing Psalm 9, and let's sing version B.